When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Good morning, video games. Welcome once again to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy D'Asolo, and with me as always...
It's Ben Vanel here, Tommy. The new consoles are just on the horizon, and if anyone wants to buy a PS5, just get in touch. I'll only sell it for iTunes gift cards, and it's definitely legit. Joining me on the black market, it's a man who's been making a funny face for 20 seconds.
Yeah, I pulled a funny Zoom face, and I'm also selling Xbox Series S's and X's, and if you want them, you can pay probably less than retail price, because I don't know quite how much demand there is comparatively. Seems like quite high still. I've been watching a bunch of, not to launch straight into this shit, you know, normally
let's fuck around
for a bit. No. We can't. It's a new generation.
True.
You know, it's I'm all antsy because as we're recording this is when all the voting's happening in the US and they're talking about it on the news. Calling Wes. So I'm in a come on, next thing mode. I've got a big, huge TV screen behind me that I'm constantly pushing to bring up different video games and how Republican or Democratic I think their main characters would be.
Crash Bandicoot,
Republican.
Yeah, okay,
Mario,
okay.
Republican.
Where's Iowa falling on Watch Dogs Legion?
Iowa is not enjoying Watch Dogs Legion because London is a confusing city that isn't fun to play a video game in. But I don't know if I agree with that. I'm just reporting the facts.
Of course, yes. It's an unbiased view on Watch Dogs Legion, a game you definitely don't like.
We'll get to that, but I was watching some, you know, Digital Foundry. The YouTube channel that will compare very technical details of visuals of games. If you've not looked it up before, give them a look because especially with new hardware and stuff coming out, they're really interesting. And I was watching a comparison of Gears 5 on the Xbox One X and Series X. So it's a game that they've patched, that Microsoft has patched to be like, this is now better on the Series X. And I don't know if I'm getting older, but I couldn't tell a fucking difference. I could see it when they really zoomed in and pointed it out, but it was pretty lost on me, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm sort of having that stuff with ray tracing and a few other of the huge graphical, you know, leaps forward that people are touting. I mean, I guess I could say maybe that I can see it looks better, but it's not, you know, I think we touched on this maybe when all this stuff was first getting announced. It's not the leap from 2D to 3D. It's not stuff that I guess we have seen in our lifetimes. It's just like, okay, that's like you've upped the resolution and, you know, the anti-aliasing is higher or whatever. Like, I don't know.
So
it always strikes me as a bit of a false economy, the comparison videos, because it's like you can look at them side by side and when you can see it, you can go, oh, yeah, I can see there's a bit more definition in that. But you're never going to play the game like that. Like, you're just in isolation playing it. So it's like it looks great regardless of which one you're playing it on. So you don't have that comparison. So
having said
it's a bit of a moot point.
I am noticing, I don't know if it's because Watch Dogs Legion isn't, like, optimized or whatever very well, but it runs quite poorly and it looks quite fuzzy and murky on a PS4 Pro.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. PS4 Pro. Because I was going to touch on that a little bit as well. Definitely some weird graphical issues. Fuzzy is probably the right word for it on the base PS4.
I feel like I'm squinting all the time.
Yes.
I feel like
really
struggling to see what the fuck is going on, which will be part of, we'll talk about Watch Dogs in a minute, but I was showing...
So many sizzles already for this Watch Dogs review.
For one thing as well. It's like, we're delaying this conversation for about 25 minutes.
Every news story back to Watch Dogs Legion, the upcoming review in this episode.
Yeah. And listen, just to end the podcast here, we might do that in a bit, because first I want to talk about...
We're projected to talk about Watch Dogs Legion in about 25 minutes, but currently it's in flux, honestly.
We're calling the middle of the podcast for Watch Dogs Legion talk. It might be too early to call that, but I reckon around the middle is when we'll do that. I'm starting to wonder as well if, like, all the ray tracing stuff especially is the upper limit of how much my brain cares about visual fidelity.
Right.
Because I was showing some stuff of a few things to my girlfriend, because they're an artist and can see color better than me, definitely.
And
like, the details of visual representations of things, they're better at picking up. So that, like, the grass in whichever park it is just south of Buckingham Palace, whatever that park is called in London, I was showing them some grass and stuff, and they were able to say, like, that grass isn't lit correctly. That grass is wrong. It's been painted as though it's the middle of the day, but now it's just had its something turned down, and I couldn't even figure it out when they were talking about
So you must be pretty comfortable in this relationship if you're fine with sitting there going, let's chat tech specs. You're not worried about them going anywhere.
I was so happy to bail out of this. I was so happy not to do it. So, you know, whether or not it was actually interesting, we both reached some sort of middle ground where we're like, let's just show an interest. Enough. I don't know. It was very nice, but it was also very interesting to see. It made me think about the fact that, with ray tracing, we've said that before. I think we all kind of struggle to see the same level of improvement that people keep talking about. People are like, whoa, this is amazing. Look at that reflection, and it changes the whole visual appeal of this. It makes the whole, this is a game changer. And I just haven't had that experience at all. And it might be that I'm just not, I don't have that type of eye.
Yeah.
Well, I guess what you're looking for in these, like, technological improvements in games is you want the game to be more immersive as a result. So these, like, nitty gritty little, like, lighting effects, I think for all three of us, doesn't really make that much of a difference to how absorbed we are in a game. The kind of thing that would make a big difference to me would be, basically no loading times, being able to go from a cinematic into gameplay really smoothly, being able to go from a map into a new segment really smoothly. Like, for me, that's the final technological frontier that would make me actually more gripped into a game, is not having to sit there and be taken out of the experience by looking at a loading screen. And it seems like we're going to get a bit of that with this new gen, but not really all the way yet.
Well,
I can't
imagine. Again, starting up Watch Dogs Legion really brought that into focus. The fact that people have been talking about that lately and sitting there for like fucking 6 minutes waiting for it to load, being like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be great if this never happened again to me in my life. But yeah, I guess I'm just excited about the new consoles, and I want to see them actually moving on a screen that isn't like a compressed YouTube image and shit like that. It might be easier to tell the difference and to see the real, you know, upgrades or benefits or whatever there.
I think also the other thing, right, is that developers won't have taken full advantage of this tech for like a little while. And even in terms of ray tracing, it's like maybe the, you know, incredible uplift in detail and accuracy of lighting will play into like some puzzles that a Naughty Dog game has in the future. Or, you know, maybe there will be ways that it does add to immersion and it does add to creative gameplay design, but we're not there yet. We haven't even booted up the consoles.
We're still, most of the games are being made for two different systems. So, we're not going to get there for a little bit. Anyway, sorry to talk about video games immediately. How long does it take you to get to the airport or whatever?
The trip to the airport.
I hate to do this, boys, but I want to talk about video games more. Something that happened just after last week's episode, in grand Filthy Casuals tradition, Nintendo dropped some information right after we recorded. They did a little Nintendo Partners Direct, it was called, this one of these. They've done a few of them. I think they said it was the last one for the year as well. I guess they don't slotting in anything before Christmas. But yeah, you've got that list of games there, Tommy. Anything interesting that we need to cover off today?
Yeah, a few things in case you hadn't jumped on it yet. There's a trailer. There's a new trailer and a demo for Hyrule Warriors Age of Calamity up on the eShop right now, which I've dipped into a little bit. It's pretty fun. Looking forward to it. It's cool being back in that world again, hearing all the sound effects and just the whole aesthetic of it all.
I reckon 22. Is the Age of Calamity. That's when you're at your peak, like, everything's falling apart. Yeah. This small thing that happened to me is so dramatic.
Yep.
I didn't play this demo, but I also have enjoyed being back in the world and hearing all the sound effects post-lockdown. I went for a walk, went for a cycle down the beach. It's been beautiful.
Being in real life and going listen to the sound effect of that duck is one of the most pathetic things I've ever heard.
I'm really looking forward to that game, and I kind of played a bit of the demo. I kind of want to save it for, you know, when the full thing is out.
Yes.
Had a little squiz at that.
When does this drop? When does the full game come out? Because as I mentioned before when we discussed this game, I've never played a Warriors game, and this will be the one I go in on. I also want to be back in Hyrule. When does this come out?
The 28th. That can't be right.
21st or 19th? It's like the week. It's the week after next. So it's
November
20.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
And also, this demo is one of those ones where, you know, the progress you make in the demo will carry over to the real game.
Oh,
so
nice.
You can feel pretty confident in investing your time into this fine product endorsed by Nintendo themselves. The seal of quality is right there on the image. So you know that this will be a corker of a game.
The seal of quality.
I'm feeling weird today. I don't know what my problem is, but I think genuinely the new consoles coming out has got me all riled up. I think I'm excited to talk about any video game, and I'm frustrated to be talking about these ones that exist now because I don't give a fuck about them anymore.
If you were a dog, you'd be doing zoomies. You'd be doing mad zoomies.
I would. Or if I was, you know, me as a dog, I'd probably be too lazy to do that, but I'd bark a bunch. I'd try and fuck your leg, that's for damn sure.
Alright, what else we got?
Also, Bravely Default 2 coming out in February 2021. I just think this looks... The art style of this is so unappealing to me.
Yeah.
It looks like a fucking Apple e-store. It looks like a bad mobile game art style. I'm really not into it. And wish I was. Wish it looked different, but I know a lot of people are excited for it, of course. So, yeah, that's out. That up until very recently was still on the slate for 2020, and they've only just said that it's now pushed back into February.
Right.
But they have done what they did with Octopath Traveler, which is they put a demo out there ages ago, and then they took a whole lot of feedback from people on it and kind of have gone back and tweaked it, and they put a thing up sort of saying hey, here's what we did based on the feedback. So, you know, that's kind of cool because you don't really see all that sort of stuff too often.
I guess they didn't take any feedback about how shit it looks, because I agree that art style is one of the most... Again, 5 minutes after having said I don't think that I have an eye for art, I've certainly got a fucking... pain in my chest from this art. Not a good pain, like a yearning, a bad pain, like a heart attack. It's awful. Yeah. It is really a bad looking video game to me.
Yeah, it's a shame. I guess a lot of the charm of the original was in storytelling and characters and the depth of, you know, writing there, and I guess the art style was of its era, but yeah, this, whatever they've done to try and recapture that, has failed.
It makes me think of those, you know, the mobile ports of the Final Fantasy games they did where all the sprites look all smoothed out and fucking weird.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a 3D version of that.
Yeah.
Yep. No More Heroes 3 got a new trailer, and No More Heroes 1 and 2 both on the eShop right now. Never played either of these games. The impression that I get is that they would not hold up. But
I played a bit of the
first one. You were thinking of going
in. Sorry about that cough as well. I played a bit of the first one, way back in the day, And I remember it being okay. It was like very kind of arcadey, almost like Scott Pilgrim or something. You just had a series of bosses you had to beat. It was very motion control heavy is my memory of it. So I don't know how well it translates to Switch or not. I don't think any of us have given these a go.
No.
But no.
I do. I want to again. But yeah, maybe the attitude of it was of its era. I couldn't say, and there's no point in me even continuing this sentence to just tell people that I don't know what I think of these things that I will have a thought on later in time. But as of right now, I'm undecided. But down the line, I will have an opinion on these games. But again, just to stress,
can I just jump in
this
there,
pointless Nuts? Sentence? Yes. Do you have news from Kansas?
Yes. Someone in our Facebook Patreon group played these games. I think, Tommy, did you start a thread in there asking, or maybe it was
I would never dare. I posted it in the games recommendation thread because I didn't want admin to come down on me like a ton of bricks.
Thank you. I very much appreciate it.
I was about to. I nearly forgot.
I think admins can post whatever they like, but that's...
oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. One rule for you and one for the rest of us. Interesting. Reminds me of a certain private military company that's taken over London lately. Interesting. We'll get to how fucking on the nose the politics of Watch Dogs are too. Again, projected for the middle of the podcast.
That's
fuck
right.
Fuck me, I cannot wait to hear this review.
Imagine if we just kind of forget what we thought about. We just I can't really express. Anyway, see you later.
I've never been so hyped up for a review of a game that I have no actual interest in, but the fucking I'm more hyped for the review than for the product. I can't wait. Can't wait for this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yes, we did get reports on No More Heroes, if that is its real name, and I'm not forgetting. Apparently it was really fun and sort of creative and a good little action game when it came out. Even the person who said they liked it said that it almost definitely wouldn't hold up like tonally, and mentioned there was like motion control jokes, like, you know, jerking off the Wiimote in order to, you know, do actions and stuff in the game. So personally, it sounds like the funniest game that's ever been made, and I can't wait to play all three of them in a row.
Yeah, the screenshot I keep seeing is like a save screen where you're like on the save area is you on the toilet. Yeah. And I was like, I think I can give this one a wide berth. But, you know, maybe the third one will be, if the third one reviews well when it comes out, I might jump in there. But yeah, I don't really feel, especially with there's a lot of new stuff coming out in the last, in the next couple of months, not feeling the pressure to go in on those two old ones. Not too much else from the partner direct worth getting into. How Laboratory Surprise dropped a new game, which, you know, looks kind of fun and quirky. The big thing is that Hitman 3 and Control are out on the Switch as cloud games, but not in this country, not in Australia. The press email that I got from Nintendo, kind of like listing everything that had been in the Direct, didn't even mention them. It was completely, that part of it was completely stripped from the Direct that aired in our territory, which makes sense because our internet is so shitty. It is a shame that people that don't have another option of playing those games don't have access to them in this country if they only have a Switch.
I disagree because from everything I heard about how, I think it was only Resident Evil 7 that's done this cloud thing before, but the way that that worked on the Switch in Japan, it sounded terrible. And I would say even if you only have a Switch and want to play these games and live in the US, it probably still isn't the best way to do it. And I'd hold out and just wait longer until there's some other thing that you end up with that can play them. Because the experience of doing the streaming thing, by all accounts, was quite poor. We'll wait until these ones comes out and see if the servers are better or, you know, whatever difference might have been able to be made in the last few years. But, like, there is zero excitement from me about either of these games being on there. It's just, it seems like a waste of time.
I guess it's just for me it is just makes me think more about like what a bummer it is to live in a country with such shitty internet. And like we talked about when this stuff was first getting discussed,
have they said for sure that it's because we've got poor internet, or is that an assumption we've made?
I think that's an assumption, right?
Because it could be licensing stuff. It could be anything, you know?
Yeah, that's fair. That's very fair. I guess it just makes me think, like, yeah, the future. I mean, this is a very interesting, like we talked about in the past, like it, you potentially get to a point where new hardware doesn't really matter. And if internet speeds got good enough that you could just never have to upgrade and just be playing a game off a server. If you got the latency down and it did work, but knowing that our country is so far behind that if these innovations start to happen and they get them working better and better, that we're probably going to be, gated from partaking in that. That is, to me, that's a shame.
I mean,
it's just unfortunate.
I don't know that it's, I mean, I don't know the reason why. Obviously, like, no one's reported it. I do know
the servers will be in the US, right? So it probably is latency stuff. Yeah. I'm just saying it to point out. But yeah.
In terms of the tech, I know I was listening to another, like, more tech-focused pod that was...
You were what? I thought we all agreed we would only listen to back episodes of this podcast.
When I say tech-focused, I mean it was a sex toy review podcast, all right? And while I was listening...
You know that I've been shopping that idea around for a long time.
I'm just seeing what other competition is out there.
Yeah, but I've not been able to get my one up because I keep refusing to use the sex toys. But I had the idea.
Apparently, they're using the same technology that, like, Sony uses, Microsoft uses, a few other developers have used to do this cloud streaming stuff. So it's an interesting one. It's not like Nintendo were putting the weight behind this streaming thing, this like cloud streaming thing. It's like per game, it sounds like.
Well, but, and they have it for PS Now is like you can stream PS3 games on a PS4. Stadia is obviously this. There's other things as well. I think the Amazon thing maybe. But
We've been getting we got a few emails from a listener who went in on Stadia, and they sort of dropped us a line every couple of month or so, and initially they were a bit mixed, and at the most recent one was like, yeah, it's really good, like, sure, there's not a lot of buy in, and because of that there's not a lot of support, there's no discussion about it, you know, it's not part of the video game zeitgeist. But this person who I believe was not in Australia and had a good, or you know, a significantly
better internet. Well, I don't think it's launched over here, so yeah.
Right. Was like, yeah, it's good. It works. Like, if you want to log in and play a game through a cloud streaming service and you have fast internet, it's fine. It's good. There's no lag. But I think Google Stadia just fucked their launch so badly, fucked the messaging, and no one bought in. It's just not what we're talking about. Weirdly, we're talking more about Xbox's Project X Cloud, where you can play games on Android phones, which I don't understand. But I think it's going to be a thing. It just depends on who wins the messaging battle and who gets the uptake. And I think that's where it's going to be. Because, you said, Nox, PlayStation has one. They've had one for ages.
And the difference is that I think you're not paying full price for those games, whereas these ones are asking you, and same with Stadia, the really off-putting thing, is it's asking you to pay the same amount of money as you would to get the game on another console. So obviously, you don't have to spend the $400 plus or whatever, or maybe less, or, you know, the amount of money that a console requires you to pay. But, I don't know, it just, the little bit of a loss in quality you get of it just being video too, especially, I would imagine, on a Switch, how much that might change as an experience on a handheld Switch too, depending on where you were, and the fact that the Switch doesn't have an inbuilt like Ethernet thing, so even if you have fast internet, you're still on Wi-Fi with a Switch. So there's enough stuff about it that I would say, even if you're interested in those games, my knee-jerk reaction is not good. I went to the doctor and my knee did not jerk for minutes. My nervous system needs attention. But my initial reaction to the thing is, just hang out and maybe play them later if you get a, in quotes, real thing to play them on. It just doesn't seem like, I don't know, I'm skeptical is, I guess, the thing I took 85 years to say.
Sure.
Yeah, well, that is pretty much, Tropico 6 is out on the Switch now. I'm sure that's interesting to some people, but
it's interesting
really
to me.
Know anything about that.
But really? I won't be playing it on Switch. Yes. Great series, Tropico, if you like city builders and stuff. But play it on a PC or even a PlayStation. It seems more fun. And I feel like you want a bigger screen to be, planning shit out and stuff like that. But again, if you only own a Switch, yep, it's a good game. It's my recommendation.
Great. Well, yeah, that's the Partner Direct. Pretty good one. Some interesting stuff in there.
Mm. Nah.
What else we got? What else we got on the news wire?
Not a ton, man. Like, I don't know. The consoles are out next week, so everyone's keeping their heads down until that stuff happens. So there's little bits and pieces of, like, exactly how they run certain games and da-da-da, but, you know, we don't have them in our hands yet, so go look for that stuff in other places. But games are coming out.
It's they sure
the
are.
End of the yeah. year, and we're starting to heat up. The first few to sort of start trickling out in this last little patch, the big one that me and Ben have both played, I would imagine, is Watch Dogs Legion. And here comes the big reveal. We've been talking about it for weeks. Watch Dogs Legion review incoming. And now it's finally time to hear our final verdict on Watch That's Dogs right. Legion. We've, Are you
we've
ready?
Been tabulating these our opinions for months. The campaign trail, it's been a long and a hard one. And we've all been there and we've rode every bump in the road that we rode on, and finally the road ends here. We're at the
gaming podcast event of the year is finally here. Our opinions on Watch Dogs Legion after this review of Ghost Runner.
Okay, I actually have a lot to say about Ghost Runner, so strap in. We'll get back to Watch Dogs in about 25 minutes. should I go on Ghost Runner? I actually do have a bit to say about it. Ghost Runner, it is not a full price game. This is an indie game. It was about $35. It's about 8 to 15 hours long, depending on how bad you are at it, I assume. And it's extra content, extra non-storyline content. The best way to describe it is Mirror's Edge crossed with Super Meat Boy. It's a one-hit kill platforming game, but it's first person. And it's set in this right. cyberpunk world, sort of like a, you remember that martial arts movie, The Raid? Or I guess Dread, the movie where it's set in this one big commission skyscraper almost, and
sure.
you just yep. sort of working your way up it to the top. That's basically the setup. You're a ghost runner, which is basically like a cyborg ninja mercenary. You wake up, some bad shit went down, some guy's in your head telling you how to get to the top.
Don't worry. It's basically just a cyborg ninja mercenary. We can throw that one off know. To the side. You know, it's a ghost runner. He's basically a cyborg ninja mercenary. You get it.
They're calling them ghost runners. Cyborg ninja mercenaries running up towers in commission flats.
The kids Coming are up going later, crazy for them.
Watch Dogs Legion reviewed after this.
So that's the
God,
setup.
I'm not holding my breath for this Watch Dogs review. I got to tell you, boys, I'm really starting to lose faith in it. I think we're going to have to hold it over for next week.
Yeah. Well, fuck. Okay, we're about halfway through the pod. I've got about 40 to 50 minutes to say on Ghost Runner. No, so that's the setup.
Hit us.
One hit kill. Basically, you get you're moving through a very fluid and very well designed hardcore first person platformer. You start to get introduced to sort of enemies who are initially just shooting at you pretty like slowly. You cannot see the bullets, so
don't worry, Tommy. They're just shooting at you. Don't worry, Tommy. You're a cyborg ninja mercenary. And don't worry,
you get
they're
introduced
just shooting
to the enemies.
At you.
Hello, enemies. I'm Dad.
And you don't have like a sprint, you know, you don't click into sprint or anything. You move at a sort of a medium pace. But what you do have is you have like a dash, but also when you jump in the air, that dash becomes a slow-mo thing. And it doesn't okay. last for very long, but when you are in the air, you hold down that and you can basically strafe and you sort of realign yourself, dodge a bullet, and then dash towards the enemies to kill them. And it's basically okay. a combination of like wall running, doing that, some small sort of environmental puzzles. Apparently there's bosses, but I haven't got up to them yet. And sort of like you go into the cyber void, which I'm sure is a concept we're all very familiar for and I do not need to dig into.
That one I actually do know. Carry on. Yeah.
It's a way you're in the cyber void. You're basically doing like similar platforming challenges without enemies, and then like connect this or like reconfigure this circuit so it closes so you can open the door. You know, a lot of like rotating thing, rotate this, and yeah, all of that combined is super, super fun, but it's fucking hard. It, like I said, it's a one-hit kill game. One-hit kill for the enemies, but also for you. And if you don't get into the vibe or you don't get into the flow of that platforming stuff, it's just frustrating and hard. Thankfully, with a bit of perseverance, I became the ghost runner. And I'm really good at it now, and I'm enjoying it. Wow. And like... It's all pretty shallow. Like, I think we've all talked about the sort of Portal style of storytelling of like someone in your head telling you semi-funny lines of dialogue.
Again, Watch Dogs Legion review coming up.
while dropping hints at what is actually going on in this sort of mysterious tech world.
Little super hot kind of thing almost, maybe.
Yes, like, yeah, totally. Yeah. But yeah, it's fucking good. Like, if that sounds appealing... Give it a crack. Like I said, it's not full price. If Super Meat Boy Mirror's Edge mashup sounds good to you, get into it.
Yeah. I wanted to try this because from watching a couple of videos of it, it looked to me like a first-person version of Katana Zero, a game that I really loved last year where, yeah, you can slow down time, you got a lot of enemies around you, and it's almost like bordering on a puzzle game where you have to like work out, you know, a little strategy for how you're going to clear all these rooms and take out these people using the slow motion kind of thing to your advantage.
That's exactly right. I wish I had played Katana Zero because I would have just said that. But I guess what it's different in that you don't see the level before you go through it, which adds a little layer of difficulty because you're like, yeah, okay, I got to this point and killed this guy, but immediately to the left is a guy shooting to me. So the next time I'm going to go, I have to like jump to the right and then go on this wall and kill him. And there's, you know, each level has like 5 or 6 or 7 enemies in it. So it's about that run. Yes, it's about getting that run right, not slipping on the, you know, trigger at any point. Putting together this super fluid thing where after the 37th time and you get it right is extremely satisfying. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And yeah, that little superpower of the slowdown thing sounds like a cool way to do the, like, you know, the ninja that can dart around and dodge bullets.
Totally, totally. And like they start to drop, you know, temporary time slowdown things just for the platforming elements. So you're like, I got to slow down. Then I jump between these propeller blades and, you know, putting together those environmental puzzles. And there are a few skill unlocks and stuff like that. But yeah, at its base, if that... sort of, hardcore first-person platformer is appealing. It's definitely worth a go. Like I said, it's 8 to 15 hours-ish, which for $30 is a bargain and worth the shot, I reckon, if you think you might like it.
You've waited with bated breath. You've been anticipating this moment since the review was announced but 32 minutes and 20 seconds ago.
Oh, well, now it's perfectly here. Synced.
It's finally time to hear Tommy Dasilo's review of Pikmin 3.
Yes!
Exactly, yeah, the game that, I've been playing a little game where, let's just say a legion factors in. That's right, a legion of little Pikmin.
Oh, yeah, I'm a fucking Pikmin!
I'm a rock one, yeah, I'll fucking smash ya!
Oi, I'm a red Pikmin, but I don't see Pikmin colour!
I'll do one of the different Watch Dogs Legion voices. Hello, I'm a different character in Watch Dogs Legion. I sound totally different.
We've seen at least 2 movies about London.
I have been playing Pikmin 3 Deluxe and it's really, really fun. It is a little real-time strategy game. You've crash-landed on an alien planet. You discover these little bug things that you can command. You can get a little squad of up to 100 with them, and all of them have different attributes, and you are basically instructing them to do different things in the environments, ranging from taking down enemies to then carrying things back to your ship that you either need for various resources or objectives, or to grow more of the little Pikmin. So like if they die, you can replace them. You have a squad of three little captains that you can sort of move between and break up your little team and sort of do a bit of time management of like, all right, I'll get these guys doing this thing over here and then I'll get these guys doing this task over here. And it's fun. It's super charming. It's really relaxing. It's got a great style. And yeah, I'm really loving it. I'd never played one of these games before. I'm glad they re-released this. I do not know what's going on, though, in the sense that back in 2015, Miyamoto said that Pikmin 4 was almost ready to go. So I don't know what's happening there.
Here it is. They just changed the name to Pikmin 3 Deluxe. But Pikmin 4 was always meant to be the same. When is this from? Did you say 2013?
I think it is, yeah.
Fucking
it was an
hell.
Early. It was an early Wii U game. Jeez. Yeah, but it doesn't really feel dated in any way. Like it's, yeah, if you've never played one of these games, because I know it is a more obscure franchise.
Yeah, I'm trying to look up check it out. There how it actually plays moment to moment. It's like, so it's a 3D. I imagine a 2D landscape for some reason.
It's top down, but like you're controlling the one character. Well, maybe
yeah,
in
you're
3D
controlling the little spaceman, and then you've got a whistle where you can kind of call all the little Pikmin to order.
Right.
And then you can kind of cycle, but you kind of throw them at things. So you'll throw them at an enemy or at a gate that you want them to tear down or whatever it is.
Oh, sure. Okay. I'm looking at pictures.
It's great. And the whole conceit of it being that you've crash landed on this mysterious planet that is Earth, but these aliens are like really, really, really tiny. So you're picking up a mobile phone that's gigantic, and
right.
There's a whole sorts of things with like what they've named the a phone is called like a data guzzler or something, like all their little code names for fruits and stuff that they find in the environment. There's a demo of it on the eShop of like the first two or three levels that you can carry your progress over into the main game if you decide to get it. At the very least, definitely check out the demo because, it's a really great game. I'm having a lot of fun with it.
What about the deluxe subtitle makes this game deluxe? What is deluxe here?
I believe it is all the DLC that they brought out post the game coming out the first time around. And right. I think they've added in one or two little side story missions as well. I think that are new that weren't DLC or something. And a new co-op mode, which wasn't in the first one. So you can have, like, you switch between the three little spacemen that you have at your disposal. I think in you can play, like, split-screen co-op where, you know, you're splitting off and, like, one of you's taking some of the Pikmin and the other one's taking the other, which I haven't tried yet, but by all accounts is a very fun way to play it if you've got someone else that's also into it.
And so how much did they charge you for this 2013 game, including a little bit of DLC?
Do you want to do that Watch Dogs review now or?
Yeah, was it above $50?
It was.
Was it $79.95 Australian?
I think so.
Yes,
I got a code,
it was.
But I
looked it up.
Price.
It is a full price game that is being re-released yet again by Nintendo. Like, I fucking really object to their pricing on this stuff. It just isn't the done thing. You know what I mean? Like, I understand they can charge whatever they want, but other people don't charge equivalent of this for, say, Bloodborne Game of the Year edition or whatever, you know? Includes the DLC. It's a game that came out in 2015, so it's even more recent. You can get that brand new, no sales, for $25. It is fucked to me that Nintendo is like, no, this is a full price game.
Yeah. I mean, if that's your objection, then yeah, stay away. But yeah, people know that that's the case.
Yeah.
So sure. You know, you can vote with your wallet and not do it. I mean, yeah, it's a re-release game, but it's good. It holds up. It's got plenty of stuff in it, and I know. Yeah. I mean, look, I know it's fucked, but yeah, I feel like we say that a lot on the show, and we all know what that is by this point, so
it's just that it happens again and again.
You're in or you're out. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just worth pointing out every time that, like, this fucking is crazy to me that they go so far beyond what the industry standard for this type of product is in terms of pricing, and then their prices remain high forever after that. Like, yes, you can vote with your wallet, but also there's something to be said for like, as a company, sticking to what is the established standard here, because people, I don't know, people have voted with their wallets plenty of times, and that's what it leveled out to. Like, you're charging too much for this.
Yeah, Tommy. Yes.
You specifically, the person in charge. It just, yeah, I know it's, I know it's like maybe a thing that some people don't care about, and that's fine, but I think it's a bit shit of them. But Pikmin 3, by all accounts, was a good game. I played the first one, and I really loved it back in the day on the GameCube. And again, if you chuck 1 and 2 in, they've got a GameCube emulator working on the Switch. Even that would crank this up to being like, okay, I get it. But it just is them doing
like I say every time we have this discussion, I feel like something from a previous generation, like, I don't know. If you, yes, obviously knowing that it's 7 years old, then yes, it's taking the piss. But at the same time, if you, it's worth the money. It is. Mm. It's a good game. It holds up. It's not something from 20 years ago that takes you 3 hours to complete. I don't think that game, now I'm just going to get fucking flack for being a, sticking up for Nintendo and whatever. I don't really want to get into the economics of it.
You're going to get it from me.
I think, yeah, exactly. I'm going to get it from you. I'm going to get it on Twitter. I'm going to get it from every half-wit on the internet.
But you're a Nintendo liberal. You're a free market, when it comes to Nintendo.
Yeah. I mean, whatever. If you want it, it's out there. Great. Spend the money on it.
Socialist pricing for all video games.
I'm having fun playing the game. I don't care what anyone else does. It's like, get it or don't. It's if you want to put that money in, I think it's worth the money. I think it's a fun game. If you haven't played it before, then you will get your money's worth out of it.
If you already bought the previous one that wasn't deluxe, then don't buy this one.
But if you had a Wii U and you hadn't bought it or whatever, they took it down from that shop too. You know what I mean? It's just stuff where they know exactly what they're doing. They know they're charging too much, and it's just lame. It's not like the biggest deal in the world. And you're right, they can do what they want, but like, it just...
I just feel like this is a discussion we should have had once on a comedy podcast and never brought up again, because we can't do anything about it.
No, we can't do anything about it, but every time it shows up, all it takes for evil to win is for good people to do nothing. And I'm here saving the day.
Let me just check the election results.
Well, they'll have all happened by the time this goes up, I think, anyway. So
yes, it will have, yeah.
Yeah.
That's why we're not making any jokes one way or the other. We're
we just had to cut one out 4 years ago.
Four years ago, into the edit suite.
Yes, to the day.
The time has come, boys.
Oh, my God.
You want to talk about... Shit. Making things, I have a problem with Pikmin 3 being more than it should, but if you want to talk about things being, having higher numbers than they should, talk about the minute count for how much we dragged out the review, the big review that everyone's watching and waiting for of the game that they all care about, definitely.
Yep.
Watch Dogs Legion. The biggest game of the year.
Yeah, it's good, not great.
I don't like it much at all.
6.5 out of 10.
Yeah, probably about that for me too. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, see you next week, everybody.
Okay, good stuff. I mean, it's tough. I sort of had a bit of a scan of like user reviews and Reddit reviews just before we were recording. And yeah, I think a lot of people are pretty much saying that as well. It's fine. It's a little lazy in that they really haven't, you know, tried, it seems, to innovate much beyond one gimmick, which, you know, is interesting. It's the reverse of the Nemesis system of in the Shadow of Mordor and War games, where your recruits, your team are made up of, I guess, procedurally generated or just like generated characters that you can recruit.
They're just kind of, they're mix and matched from a few different bits and pieces. Like, there's one mission that they'll want you to have. There's a voice they'll have. There's a look they'll have. There's clothing they'll have. You know what I mean? Like, it's... Yep. And you can see the seams of that. You can see that this thing's had the dice rolled and that they've popped out all weird.
Yeah, I think when you're playing, like, when you are running around doing stuff, I think it's really, really fun. It's very similar to Watch Dogs 2 in gameplay. Just, it's a stealth game with hacking mechanics and you can steal cars. Like, it's... There's not much more to it than that. But that is super, super fun. Like the what do you call it? When your traversal is good and fluid, you know, as you would expect from Ubisoft. The shooting is fine, but the hacking and stealth is where this game is really fun. And I've been doing that. But sure. Kind of everything else is... Oh, and I will say that I do like the London. I was playing it with my partner sort of watching, and she lived in London for years and was like, oh, that's where I worked. Oh, you just drove past the place I volunteered at. Like,
that part is cool. It's a good representation of London, and it's got like their sort of near future-y things added onto it. And obviously there's bits and pieces cut. It's like a shrunk down version of London, and, you know, there's not a fucking Pratt there. There's something called like coffee shop and whatever. But it is a good London, and I enjoy going to see places that I recognized. I just mean that like London as a layout of a city is... tough to navigate. People hate to drive through London in real life.
Sure.
And I don't think they've done much to mitigate the experience of the confusing fucking higgledy-piggledy roads of London that were made for wagons and carts over hundreds of years. Yeah, it doesn't translate to a poorly controlling car in a video game. Because that's
my
biggest
problem. Well, you know what you can do? You can hit X and it will slowly, slowly, automatically drive you to your destination.
Yeah. It's great when a solution to a problem with gameplay is like, oh, what if we didn't make them play the game? We fixed it. I think that just the movement in general in this, I agree that like the mounting stuff is easy because you just hold a button and he does it. Or, you know, whatever your character is, does it. But there's something about this, and I felt it with the other two as well. It just feels sloppy to me for some reason. The driving isn't quite good. The movement feels like sludgy in a way that I don't like. And the shooting, I think, is fucking bad. The fist fighting is bad. The stealth is cool because like you zipping between the different cameras and like turning on traps in an area and that sort of thing is fun. But like you said, it is very similar to Watch Dogs 2, so you're not really getting anything out of this one that you didn't get out of that one. And the game's big gambit of, like, the player characters are all the citizens of London, technically, because we've made maybe 50 missions for recruiting people that if you play it for long enough, you will start to see loop, which I haven't yet, obviously. I haven't played enough to do that. But, like, the way that it mismatches... So I went up to this dude because he looked like James Bond. Legitimately, at first I was like, did they put Idris Elba in this game? Because he looked like Idris Elba. And I walked up, he's like, he's wearing a fucking tuxedo. He's flat out wearing a tuxedo. And his mission was, I got fired from me job. And then I had to go, I don't think that the thing that they're doing is their big gambit really lands.
No, I think I like the idea. Like, I would have liked to have been in the brainstorming room and seen how this came about, but they didn't execute it right, I think. And I think, if anything, what the game has borne out is the fact that it needed an edit. Like, that idea needed an edit. Like, maybe having a main character with an actual story that you follow the plot, they have some interesting, you know, issues to confront and personal development and shit like that. Even just one character whose skills you upgrade and a team who you can recruit from a selection of characters, which initially we thought like maybe that's all this game was and it turned out to be literally every character. I think it should have been that. It should have been like with No Man's Sky, the issues that most people had were there's not enough curated, crafted content in this to make it feel like a game, an engaging game.
Especially
they should have done that. They should have limited it.
When it's an open world, but like story-driven game like this too, the story is, it feels fucking empty because you don't have characters to, or a character to latch onto, really. All the side characters are like, you know, doing stuff. There's a few people of DedSec that recur. There's a pretty good computer companion thing. He's not the worst I've seen. He's like kind of quippy and he's like, I'm the most genius fucking computer in the world, you bollocks or whatever. And there's some villains that are like, okay. But I feel so disconnected from everything that's happening because I'm just not participating in it at all. Or the characters I'm playing as are participating it in an actively negative way, where like the character I started with.
And
I
what about when you turn the game on?
Hell yeah. You've waited all episodes.
It's been a while.
Yes.
It's been a while. It really has been a while. And I've got to tell you, it feels fucking great.
That was worth it.
Well, when you, I'll tell you about.
4 years, baby.
When you turn the game on, I don't make me cut something out again. When you turn it on, it takes ages to load, and it does feel like it's struggling a bit on these consoles too.
Yes,
right.
The thing I was going to say is like the character that it generates you like maybe 16 choices of characters to start as. And there was one of them where it's like he's got his own personal motorbike. His name was Marcus something, I think, and he was an entertainer. And he was the most annoying motherfucker I've ever come across, because you're going into these early stages of the game where it's like, you know, DedSec is contacting him to come and start the revolution. Mm. And he was a fucking idiot. He kept being like, oh, I don't really understand what you're saying, but yeah, all right, I'll come down to pub. And like, it just made the story fucking suck. The voice acting was bad for this character. He had a terrible jacket that I didn't quite realize was corduroy, and I didn't like it. That's small, but like still, there's the execution, like you said, Ben, of this idea makes the very traditional and normal rest of the game suffer. It doesn't elevate it at all. It feels like a separate thing, really jammed in, and yeah, I think to the detriment of engaging with it in the sort of traditional, very standard open world game that it actually is.
Yeah, I think this is like obviously a discredit to the people who worked on it and probably worked extremely hard, but it feels like a weird gimmick DLC for Watch Dogs 2, because the gameplay is like, it's basically the same. And I loved Watch Dogs 2. I thought it was super underrated, and I disagree. It's just a taste thing, Nox, but like the movement, the melee, all of the running around shit, even the driving, which is a little arcadey, I like it is a fun game to me, but it is disposable. That's the issue with it, because you don't have a protagonist that's actually a protagonist, because the ones you do have are written in a very shallow way. It just doesn't feel like I'm engaged or invested in the story. And the story completely. Is fine, but it would be better if there was a fucking main character.
Totally. And like that might soften the blunt force of their very heavy-handed political commentary with this game that is just like so over the top all the time. It's crazy. Like, it's talking about surveillance state and privacy stuff and, you know, the creep of fascism in the police force and things like that. But, I mean, maybe they got unlucky with how much that stuff's exploded in the real world lately, but it really feels on the nose and poorly handled, and like it's jammed in there as a what's hot with the kids at the moment? ACAB. Yeah, all right. ACAB the game. Here we go.
Yeah, I read about a couple of weeks ago this book that came out last year, and it was like very, very similar. It was set in the UK, and it was about a near future where like the surveillance state has gone, you know, even further, corporations, and like it was all about that. It was like about someone wanting to rebel against that, setting up like a little nation state within the UK that was like disconnected from major networks. And then it was about what happens when the internet goes down and what happens to the world. And it was like an interesting concept. The book was all right, but like I just read that. I watched Minority Report the other day. Like I'm you know, consuming a bunch of stuff that is sort of peripheral to near future cyberpunk stuff. And this combined that with the news being, you know, what it is, it just suffers in comparison. It does. It looks like a superficial telling of it.
And even in just a more basic way, like it is a tropey story that is like old since like 1984, the book, not the year, but definitely the year. Like it is not fresh feeling in any of its aspects to me. Like the thing of the recruiting the Londoners, you can see exactly how the game is doing it, and it doesn't work very well. And then it makes the main game suffer because you don't have a protagonist to engage in this story with. But then the story itself is still kind of bland and nothingy and a little like irritating almost in its like wide-eyed kind of like, yeah, we're the revolution, viva la revolution. Like,
which
it's
we just got from the trailer. Like, I think we were all hoping it was better than that, but that is what it is. It's tough, yeah. It's also apparently very buggy.
Super buggy.
Every time I save the game and then quit, it crashes, which is not obviously impacting my experience, but it's like, why does the game crash every time I hit quit?
It's got a weird amount of crashing that I haven't experienced yet.
It's the most convenient bug.
That's so funny. I hit quit and then it just turns itself off. Yeah. What the fuck? What is going on here?
There's this button called load game, and if you accidentally hit it, it takes you back to a previous point in the game. It's crazy. But like, there's stuff when you're just driving around and like, I hit a lady with my moped and it froze the game for a bit, and then she turned into like a brick and I flew off the moped. You know, it's got that open worldy bugginess to it.
Yep.
You know, you'll come out of a cutscene and be in a character's way, and then they're zipping all around the room because they don't know where to go. That sort of shit.
Yeah.
Which isn't unexpected, but again, yeah, nothing in this game is unexpected. Basically, it is a very cookie cutter, auto generated. Like the citizens of London themselves, Watch Dogs Legion is wide as a ocean, shallow as a puddle.
Ooh.
It feels like a cookie cutter, auto-generated. But I will say, to the game's credit, its representation of London is really cool to go around. I've never played one of these, hey, it's set in a real world things, where I've actually been to the city that it's set in.
Right.
And it's cool to go like, oh yeah, the bridge.
I think my ultimate, you know, my take on this game is that when it's at a discount and is priced at a comparable to like a hefty DLC pack, go in on it. If you liked Watch Dogs 2, go in on it then, because that's what it is. If you don't expect too much from it, which is a terrible review of a game or for a game to get, but if you're expecting that with a fun quirk. And like, I do like the, you know, the level of customization that you can do cosmetically to each character. Like, you can make your own little crew, but you very much have to role play on behalf of their characters. Like, they don't give you much to work with.
I will say I'm looking forward to playing the PS5 upgrade of it, which is free, which is very cool. And I want to see how it runs on that. And I'm thinking of just starting it again when I do that with the permanent death of your characters on. Because
You
can either have your characters die permanently when they die, or you know, they just go to hospital for a bit and come back.
But, oh yeah, right. I did permadeath, the same as I did with Fire Emblem Three Houses. I felt like that was going to make me more invested in the game.
Yeah.
Which again, like for this, it didn't really do much. But yeah, I reckon I'll do the same. I'll probably start a fresh one because like, it's already just fading from my memory, you know?
Totally.
I want to play more Ghost Runner. I don't really care about this game enough.
And like you said, not having that character progression in the game at all, you're not upgrading your abilities and everything. So you just kind of don't feel like you're making progress in the game that much because you're not doing anything new most of the time. Mm. Like, different characters that you find on the street will have different abilities innately that you can mess around with, but it's just not a very... I don't think the system that they've come up with works very well to make the game better in any way. So it's a very cookie cutter open world thing. If you like open world games, which Ben, you do, then this one seems to be a C+ or whatever type of thing.
Yeah.
But I find open world games a little tiring often at this point, just like, and this continues that trend for me.
Yep. Fair.
There it was.
I should say at this point, I've played it and finished it, and I think it's my game of the year. I loved it. I put 100 hours into it this week, and I love it.
Okay,
not much more to say. Just my thoughts are just basically the opposite of everything you guys have said. I think it's a perfect game.
Well, I said some good things.
So what's your?
You thought the opposite of the positives too.
What's your favorite thing about it, Tommy?
My handful of negatives. The bit where you go in and you absolutely have it large.
He has played it.
Yeah. Wow, fuck. I thought you were doing a bit. I'm embarrassed. I think Nox and I both were.
Why'd you let us talk about it so much? I've played 3 hours. I don't know how much I played, but I probably won't go back to it other than to see the direct PS4 to 5 stuff, which I am interested in.
Yeah. I think it's a shame, but yeah.
I know.
It's a rough time to bring out a game that's a little bit middling Yeah. When we're right on the cusp of
especially
the next gen. And
you know what? When the best time to do it would be is if you as a company are releasing a better game a week later. Because
it's bizarre.
Ubisoft are going to scoop up as much, you know, as many profits as they need for this quarter or whatever through Assassin's Creed Valhalla, which people are frothing on, and they've, you know, done so many little gameplay things and are pushing that super hard. Yeah, I get, maybe they knew this was a little bit of a turkey.
And those two recent Assassin's Creed games made efforts to move forward in their version of the open world genre, you know?
Yeah. Right.
Maybe not always ones that I found to hit completely, but definitely more so than this. This game feels like it could have come out 5 years ago, and it also doesn't run well because it came out now. Like, the bugginess and the visuals just are like, yeah, murky, like we said. I don't know. It's I don't think it's very good.
Mm. I concur.
That's the big
game of the year.
Me, thumbs down. Ben, thumbs in the middle. Tommy, thumb up his bloody ass, I reckon, mate. Woo! What do you think, Ben?
Thumb up my... just thumbing myself in the dot over how much I love this game. Just absolutely can't get enough of it. All right, we better wrap it up there for another week on Filthy Casuals.
We should
of course,
just say,
next week.
Yeah, yep. Next week we will be recording on Thursday. When the PS5 comes out, it's up to Australia Post whether or not we receive them on that day. Fuck,
that's
I hope we
point.
Can do an episode about them, but I don't know if we will be able to. We'll
see.
Yeah,
I've got click and collect, but I have work that day, so I'll collect it, you know, probably on my lunch break, and I'll open the box, and that'll be it for me, I reckon.
You might have to go at 8 a.m. or something, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Shops open early. Yeah. We'll figure this out. But yeah, hopefully we'll have PS5s by next week.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if I can get rid of my Amazon pre-order and do it now that shops are open in Melbourne.
No.
If I'm any chance of being able to get one through a shop, do a click and collect. I'm going to have to wait for fucking Amazon, aren't I? They're pretty good. When they want to be, they're pretty good. I think they have their own drivers or something.
Doesn't matter at
the
moment.
You've been fucked recently, Knox.
We're rolling the dice, but that's exciting in its own way.
Sure, yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it'll either be, look out next week for the... branding for the episode is either going to be, you know, PS5, like, you know, first out of the box review, etc. Or
probably
it'll
something
just
cleaner
be
than that, but yeah.
Absolutely teeing off on Australia Post. You see the logo of like, if you see the episode image is like the Australia Post logo with Calvin from Calvin and Hobbes pissing on it.
It'll be Cartier watches all over the thing, you know, we'll be like, how dare they? No, whatever. It's a hard time to be working in the postal services, but you know.
Sure.
Well, either we'll be licking the boots of Jeff Bezos, or we will be pissing
on the boots. Yeah.
Exactly. All right. Filthycasuals.com.au for the links to all the extra stuff that we have. We've got the Patreon where you can get an extra episode of the show every week. We've got our YouTube series. We've got our premium episodes on Bandcamp. Guys, thanks very much for listening. We'll see you next time. And as we say here at the end of every edition of Filthy Casuals,
if you collect 50 more of these, you'll get a fucking bonus, mate. That's an English open world, like in Watch Dogs Legion. Do you understand me? Does anyone? Can anyone?
My favorite game.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.